Let's be turning our Bible to Genesis chapter 2 this morning. Genesis chapter 2, and we'll be reading here in just a minute. Now, what I'm going to try to speak on this morning is this subject: what happened in the garden? What happened in the garden? As Brother Roy is reading from Romans chapter 5, he read, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." By one man sin entered into the world. Now, let us read Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and through 17. "And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Have you ever thought about all of the misery and all of the destruction and all of the death that followed the sin of Adam, our first father? If you look back to World War II, the millions, just in one war, the millions and millions of people that died, the suffering. We think about the suffering. There's an image that I've seen so many times, and it was during the Vietnam War, and it's this little girl. She's running up the street. She's about 4 years old, naked. And you can see the bombs behind her blowing, and she's got napalm on her body. She's burnt, and she's running down the street screaming. A little innocent baby girl. What happened in the garden that such terrible, terrible things happen? But not only do we have the death and destruction in this life, but there are men who live in this life, and then they die, and then they are eternally separated from God. What happened in the garden? What was so terrible in that garden? What happened that was so atrocious that such terrible things happen in our lives and around us and in eternity? Before Adam sinned, he had everything. He had authority over the whole garden. Do you know that the Lord, I often think how Adam had reign over the earth. The Lord made all the earth and all these wonderful, beautiful, what a place that must have been. The Lord made the animals, but then he took Adam, his beloved Adam, and "Son, I want you to name all these animals. You call them what you want to." It's you think almost as if a father who gets his child an animal, and what are you going to name it? Well, that's what the Lord had done to Adam, wasn't it? He said, "Okay, Adam, all these animals, you come before them and you name them what you want to. You have dominion over them." Adam had dominion over the whole earth. He had reign over the whole earth. And not only that, but in the evenings, it says that the Lord came down into the garden. And I believe that this was our Lord Jesus Christ himself incarnate. the Lord Jesus Christ himself would come down with Adam and they'd walk through the garden. And I can imagine Adam telling the Lord about that beautiful garden, about his day. They walked side by side in the cool of the day. But there was one law. There was one law. Don't eat the fruit of this one tree. You see, this tree represented God's authority. If Adam does not eat of that tree, then he is acknowledging that God has a right to be God. Now, he has everything in that garden except the right to be God. He has dominion over the earth. Adam has dominion over the earth. But he does not have the right to be God. The punishment for the sin is death. And you know that death, when we think of death, death is not annihilation. Death is separation. When a man dies, his soul is separated from his body. We take Tony's body and go lay it in the grave. They don't say you took Tony and laid him in the grave. They took Tony's body and laid him in the grave. Why do they take Tony's body? Because Tony's not there. Tony's soul has been separated from that body and has gone to judgment to meet God. Well, in spiritual death is not the ceasing to exist spiritually. We read in the scripture of spiritual death, and we hear men speaking of spiritual death. But spiritual death is not to cease existing being a spiritual person. It is separation. Spiritual death is complete separation from God. God is light. And to be separated or to be dead spiritually is to be in darkness. So when we read of this death and we read of this punishment and we read of the consequences of the garden, let's not forget what death is. Well, what happened in the garden? Can we come up with an analogy? And I thought about this. You know, in my backyard, I've got a raised garden. And I've got three different things. I got cucumbers planted there and some okra and about five different types of tomato plants. And, okay, it's my garden. And so let's say I take my girls up to that garden and I tell them, it's now your garden. You can take the fruit of this little garden that I've planted, and you can eat it. You can give it to the neighbors. I'll take you down to the farmer's market, and you can sell it and make you some money. But this one tomato plant here is my Mr. Stripey. It's the only one I got. You can't have it. And if you do, you'll die. That's absurd. Is it not? Is it not? So you see, the crime that I speak of in my garden does not, the punishment that I speak of in my garden doesn't meet the crime that they have committed. Something happened in the garden. Something dramatic happened. Well, let's look at this account. Let's read beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, that means cunning and crafty, than any beast that of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. There are three things that the serpent said to the woman. First, ye shall not surely die. The serpent was telling the woman that God is a liar. She was telling the woman that you cannot trust God, and that God is not truth. That is exactly what she was telling the woman, and she believed it. And secondly, the serpent says in verse 5, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Now, I looked up that word there, as gods, and I don't know why the translators translated it like they did. Because that as gods is the same word used at the first of the verse where it says God. So when it says your eyes will be opened and ye shall be as gods, it's saying your eyes will be opened and ye shall be as God himself, knowing good and evil. You will be like God. You will know what God knows. You will be able to trust yourself. You see, God said you would die. You'll not die. See, you can't trust God. You will eat of this fruit, and your eyes will be opened, and you'll see, and you'll be able to trust yourself. You will have a free will. Knowing God, good and evil, and the ability to choose between good and evil is free will, is it not? If we were to define it, would that not be how we would define it? Let me read to you Jeremiah 4:22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are silly, sottish children. And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. What happened in the garden? There is an evangelist. I was been raised in church all my life. And there is an evangelist that frequents this area from Middle Tennessee, has been up here 30, 40 years. He comes up here every year from Middle Tennessee. Fundamental, independent, missionary, Baptist, considered solid. I heard him say, we are not graveyard dead. We have the ability to accept or reject God. Adam died. Yes, he died, but he's not graveyard dead. You see, this lie of free will, this lie started in the garden. And it is the same lie that's being preached in the serpent's churches even to this day. We have power. We have more power than God. That is really what they're saying. Now look at me at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What was it that was so desirable to this woman? She found that by taking this fruit, that she could dethrone God. She believed that she could dethrone God, and it was desirable. Disobedience was better than obedience. And she took that fruit, and when she put it to her mouth, it was just like her saying, "We will not have this man reign over us. We will not have this man reign over us." That's what happened in the garden. Is that also not happened in the cross? Where did that heart, that wicked heart that cried out, crucify him, away with him, away with him. We will not have this man reign over us. Where did that come from? It came from right here in this garden. It has been said, and honestly, I didn't go through all of the commandments, but it's been said that every one of the Ten Commandments were broken right there in the garden. Every single one of them. The Ten Commandments did not come until probably about 3,500 years after this event. And if we had more time, we would go back into Romans and we could look that the reason that the Ten Commandments was given, the very reason that they were given, was to illuminate what happened in the garden, to show us what happened in the garden. But let's look at a few of these commandments. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And did they not, our first parents, place themselves above God in the garden? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. They blasphemed by taking the names lightly. That's what blasphemy is. Honor thy father and mother. They dishonored their father. Thou shalt not kill. Well, man can't kill God. He can in his heart. They despised or murdered God in their heart. Thou shalt not steal. They tried to steal God's authority when they took of the fruit. Thou shalt not bear false witness. They called God a liar. They did not believe God to be true. They did not believe that they would die. Thou shalt not covet. They wanted for themselves what only belonged to God. What a terrible, terrible sin that occurred in the garden. Well, what does this have to do with us? We weren't there. Why am I caught up in all of this mess? Well, we are. We were there. We are guilty in Adam, but also we are guilty like Adam. Turn back with me where we read this morning to Romans chapter 5. And let's look at verse 18. And boy, I wish that I could. This chapter here, Romans chapter 5, is a wonderful chapter. And I wish I wish I had the ability to go through it like it needs to be gone through. But this chapter, it just helped me so much. And this is exactly what we're getting ready to speak here. Look at verse 18. As by the offense of one, speaking of Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. When Adam transgressed, condemnation came upon the whole race. Not just upon Adam. It came upon the whole race of Adam. Well, that doesn't seem fair. How could I be implied in that? Well, you see, I was in my father who was here this morning, and my father was in his father. And if you follow this all the way back, we were all in Adam. We were in Adam. And when Adam sinned and Adam fell, we fell with him. And so when condemnation passed upon Adam, it also passed upon us. Death. They had their first child. And he died. There was death. Well, look at Romans 5:19. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We were disobedient with Adam, in Adam. But we are also guilty like Adam. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every time that we sin, every transgression, every sin, it is nothing but a repeat of the transgression in the garden. It is yet another rebellion. Every sin that we commit, every sin. Why do we sin? Well, we are in bondage to a sinful nature. But you see, from a good tree, you will get a good tree. And from a bad tree, from the fruit of a bad tree, you'll get nothing but a bad tree. And we come from Adam. Either, our Lord said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. So we produce bad fruit because we came from a bad tree. Well, there is yet good news. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. And this is where I wanted to begin the message, and this is where I wanted to bring the message from this morning. And as I go back, I ended up in Genesis. But there is a sentence of death that came from the garden. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God has to carry out that judgment. We must die. That for God to be just, he must punish sin. He must. So what a dilemma. What a terrible condition. Now, do you remember the penalty for sin there in the garden? Now read with me verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. I am executed with Christ. I am put to death with Christ. Here is the penalty of sin being fulfilled in Christ. Christ has taken that death. And just like I was in Adam when he fell, I am now in the Lord Jesus Christ when he is crucified. I am crucified with Christ. And because Christ has been crucified and I'm hidden in him, God's wrath and God's anger is gone. That terrible sentence in the garden, that terrible sentence, God has justly executed his own son because I was in him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm alive. I was killed with Christ, but I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, in closing, I want to read four more verses. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Reading, beginning at verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven, in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before Adam ever fell, did you know that the Lord had already given a people, a chosen people, to his son? And when before Adam ever fell, he already had a remedy for those people. Having predestinated us, verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise and glory of his grace, whereof he, and I love this, hath made us accepted. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen.